Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Y'all take your darts over here pretty seriously, huh? What's the billiard game y'all do that sounds like a brand of cookies?
Snooker?
That's it. That's the one. Yeah, boy.
Who doesn't love darts?
Everybody loves darts.
Everybody loves darts.
I love darts because I think it is a great idea to get intoxicated and throw sharp objects.
Well, we're going to fight. All right, hold on. You just throw them in one direction. Don't walk in front of the darts and everybody's fine.
That is the number one rule of Flight Club.
Flight Club.
The number one rule of Flight Club is don't walk in front of the darts. I'm super excited about this.
There is a new concept that is coming to Clayton. And in fact, it is opening. I guess today is the grand opening, right?
Tomorrow,
or is this tomorrow's the grand opening, but this is like it's happening soon. So Flight Club is an upscale darts concept. And it will be opening in Clayton again on Friday. And with us is the Vice President of Marketing, Kim Shute. Did I say it right?
Yes, you did.
I did.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I always doubt myself. And I doubt my darts ability. So
I would say he doesn't doubt himself enough, to be honest, but you got it right this time.
You know what? She's not wrong. So tell us about Flight Club. I know about it from Chicago. Here's what I know. It started there, right?
It started in London.
Okay. Okay.
The first one in the United States was in Chicago. So that's where you heard that from.
I know that probably two or three times a week, I see friends posting photos from it, and I've not ever been there myself, but people love it.
And I saw it very organically, like walking, running down Forsyth, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's... What is Flight Club? Because it was the location of Flight Club here in St. Louis is the old, oh my gosh.
Cantina Laredo.
Cantina Laredo. Yeah, okay. Yes. Yeah. I was like the Mexican restaurant on Forsyth.
So tell us
what is it? Yeah. I saw the signs.
Yeah. So it's very high technology darts, but first and foremost, a really great cocktail bar with really great food. So I think a lot of people picture the dirty carpets, the smoky walls, when you think of darts.
Yeah.
This is not at all that. So this is going to be really fun, high technology. So you don't have to track anything. No chalkboards at Flight Club, which is how you would typically track when you're playing darts.
That's how you get stabbed, because somebody walks up to the chalkboard to mark and another person
throws. You know what? I have done that at Blueberry Hill.
Yeah, exactly.
I have impaled. You don't want to impale
people. Yeah, you don't want to get impaled.
So should we consider this the low-risk darts place to go to in Clayton?
Yes, the high-end, low-risk.
Yeah. High-end, low...
There you go.
Wow, that you should save that.
New tagline.
Yeah.
Well, you're the Vice President of Marketing. You could do something about that.
Just writing this down right now.
Yes, I know. We're really good at slogans, so you can hire us if you want. But, okay, so what... like you said, it's the tallies... are electronic?
Yes. So we have six games. So we don't have any traditional darts games. We have all games that we've developed or Flight Club has developed. So what it is kind of like a play on really different things. So one of my favorite games is called Demolition. And I love it because it counts the score no matter where you hit it on the board. So you don't have to be good at aiming. So it's very approachable for anyone that's not necessarily good at darts, because I personally don't know a lot of people that are like, well, I'm very good at darts.
Right.
And so it's very approachable for the normal human. And so our games are a lot of fun, very interactive like that.
Okay. And so are you throwing traditional darts?
Correct. Yes.
Okay.
They are very real darts. They are blue, which is unusual for darts, but that's how our technology works. So we are accurate from 0.002 millimeters up to that. So it's a very accurate dart. But it is a real heavy metal dart.
Wait, so when you say they're blue.
Yeah, that was my question. What does that mean?
They're literally blue. And so
the pointy part is blue.
Yes, the pointy part is blue. And so that's how our cameras can pick it up to make sure that it's tracking accurately.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I was just thinking of, at first I was going to say feathers, but darts don't have feathers. They have the tail.
The fins?
Yeah. The fins, yes.
Yeah.
I am loving this conversation.
Yeah. So you came in to talk to a couple of dopes.
Yeah.
I hope you know.
So well, because it's fun.
It is.
Darts is fun and Flight Club is fun. And that big, beautiful space, on Forsyth, has been empty.
Mm-hmm.
And so for it to be something actually cool and not something boring like a bank.
Oh my God, everything becomes
a
bank.
I'm all kidding aside, this is great to have that there. And it's a beautiful space.
It is. And there's that beautiful patio there that when it's not very cold outside like it is right now, it's going to be just a great spot to have a cocktail and have some bites to eat.
But there won't be like outdoor darts.
There's no outdoor darts. No, unfortunately, just indoor darts.
So you mentioned the demolition game. What else is there?
So another favorite of mine is Killer, which is you're basically attacking some person or everyone you're playing.
And I want to play.
I highly recommend it. Brings out the competitiveness in the group. And so you have to be able to hit a specific spot that's assigned to a person. And then if you hit them enough, then they're out of the game.
This sounds like so much fun.
So you can single somebody out that you hate the most.
Yes.
And I want that game.
It's
very spiteful.
It is, which is why I love it.
I love spiteful games.
I knew you would. You're going to go
play Killer.
That game. Yeah. You also mentioned that you're first a cocktail bar, like
correct.
Specialty drinks. What kind of drinks do you guys have?
So we have 8 specialty cocktails that we curated. We spent a lot of time developing them. We just wanted to make sure there was a nice variety. And then we also have it so that every single one of those specialty cocktails can be made into a spirit-free option.
Okay.
So it's not as easy as like, oh, well, we just took out the liquor and swapped it for an NA liquor. We completely made the drink so the flavor profile's still there and you feel like you're having a cocktail without the actual alcohol.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so we put a lot of emphasis into that program. Of course, we also have the full bar. So if you want something other than the specialty cocktails, we can make just about anything.
Yeah, I like the cocktail with the fun in it. So you have those. That's good.
Cocktails with fun come. Absolutely. Yes, we have those.
I'm interested in this technology. It says it's proprietary dart tracking technology developed by a NASA scientist.
Correct.
Who's this NASA scientist?
Who's the guy?
So
the
I don't have a lot of information on the NASA scientist. That all happened way before I came along.
That's sketchy.
And I also feel like, hold on, listen.
I'm just throwing out stats.
Why are there so, I feel like the NASA technology is too many places.
I do too,
it's everywhere.
Because I worked
material on the space shuttle.
What are they doing?
Listen, a lot of people have worked for NASA. So
apparently,
there's a lot of people that can help out with really cool things.
And when you retire from NASA, you go make darts.
Exactly.
That is actually it's very cool. Which part of the technology is the NASA part?
So it's the tracking.
Okay, the tracking.
Yeah, the tracking piece. And then the games were developed from someone else, but it's the accuracy of the tracking.
So
this is so much fun.
It is. So, you have the Chicago location is the first. I know you have others around the country. How have they done? I'm assuming they've done well if you're you continue to expand, but how do the locals embrace it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we have venues in a bunch of major markets, and so we're really, really excited about St. Louis and Clayton, especially because of, the foodie scene that you guys have here, and that seems to work really well for our other venues is the cocktail scene, the foodie scene. The hardest part of my job has been exploring Clayton and St. Louis and testing out those cocktails and around. And so I'm just so grateful to be here with them. But the other venues do really well. We have one in Vegas that's just, Vegas.
Yeah.
Right.
So, they do really well.
Well, and it's okay. I'm assuming Flight Club, does it feel kind of like a bar where there are like televisions, sporting events going on? And that Clayton has a lot of great foods and cocktails. Mm-hmm. Clayton is not known for being like casual fun. This is a place that Clayton needs. And then also because of its location that you can get there from the county, you can get there from the city. And so I love that it is a fun place to go and hang out without it having to be like really formal dining.
Right.
So you can swing by Flight Club. It's not it doesn't have to be a big formal experience, which I think sometimes intimidates people.
Right. And when we were coming into Clayton, too, we want to make sure that we are to the level of food and beverage that everyone here is used to. So we don't want to rely on the game because we don't need to because our program is really good. But the game is a really nice added bonus because it is just something fun to do, something different.
Is it? I know you said it started in London.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know much about the history of how it started in London? Because when I think of England, I do think of the dirty, smoky, carpeted, yeah. like pub, English pubs.
Right. No. And so that's how it started, is two guys got together and they're like, we could do this better. Why don't we create something? And then they did.
They hired a NASA guy.
Yeah. And they were like, you know what would make this really great? Let's hire someone from NASA.
Yeah. I would not have jumped to that, but they did.
Yeah. And so, and that's kind of how it started. And so it started in Shoreditch, which is in London. And they have several locations now. And then there's also locations in Ireland and Australia as well.
Oh, wow.
This is very cool.
If you make it in Ireland, you have to be good.
Well, I actually think they open next week in Ireland, so I'll let you know.
Oh, nice.
They do seem like they'd be very skeptical and fickle or whatever.
Protective?
Yeah, the Irish.
So I think that's awesome. I think the fact that Flight Club is London originated, all over the world, going into Ireland, to me gives it like a credibility that just through the roof.
Well, and if you, when you come in and you see it, because you're coming tonight, obviously.
Obviously.
We have, it's a very much of a London pub vibe. Mm-hmm. We bring over a lot of the detail items from London. So you'll see there's little statues and everything all around. The decor is very hard to explain without seeing it, but it's like a wow moment when you walk in. And a lot of those items are from London, but then we also take pieces from the local area. So we also have a room that's like a nod to St. Louis with the musical instruments. We also have the hot air balloons in one of the areas up on the ceiling. And so it's very whimsical, fairgrounds fun. It's something very different.
So do you do like private parties and that sort of thing if people are interested?
Totally, yes. So we do a lot of corporate events through all of our venues. The way that our space is laid out, it's very intimate and it's really nice. You feel like you're all together, as opposed to you could go to another place where you're sitting at a dinner table or a dining table, I should say. And, you know, you're over there, way on the other side, and then someone is next to you and then you're talking to them the whole time. It's like a perfect mingling spot where you feel like your whole group can connect together.
So the website is flightclubdartsusa.com, and then there are different locations. Correct. You can find your location. It is an upscale darts concept. Can the low-life scumbags come in too?
That's Ranji.
Like, so me,
Ranji.
I'm not very upscale. So.
No, it's really for everybody. Okay. It's, you don't have to be super dressed up to come or anything like that.
Perfect.
We just have an elevated offering, and it's just very casual fun. And yes, there are TVs.
I mean, I'm very upscale. You just can't tell because my clothes are baggy.
That's what that means. Flight Club, it opens in Clayton. It opens tomorrow. We are looking forward to another cool thing happening in the St. Louis area. Kim Shute, thank you for coming in and telling us about your new place.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
It's the Chris and Amy Show. We still have tickets to give away for the St. Louis Golf Expo. We will tell you when it is your time to try. Don't do it now, or you will be in trouble. Amy will come to your house, and she will fight you.
And you do not want that.
And then she'll take you to Flight
because
Club.
Because I am not a good fighter, and you'll probably get in trouble.
She'll take you to Flight Club, play darts with you, and there's a game called Killer, and she's going to kill you, too.
I love Flight Club.
Chris and Amy on KMOX.
Ranji, Amy Mark Score is with you, and earlier this week, Governor Kehoe gave the State of the State address. He talked about wanting the state of Missouri to take control of the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Force. Chief Robert Tracy of the St. Louis Police Force also responded to that, but Mike Kehoe, the governor of Missouri, had this to say.
I don't want to make this political at all. It shouldn't be political. Protecting and supporting the men and ladies we have in the St. Louis community who are keeping our streets safe is very important to me. And what I've told city leaders and multiple folks in the area, community leaders as well, is my barometer, my measuring stick is not what elected officials, whether it's me or somebody else, say is good or bad. In this case, it's about investment.
So that's Mike Kehoe on Total Information AM here on KMOX, talking with Megan Lynch. And we know that Robert Tracy, and I believe this was last night, it was either last night or very early this morning, appeared on Fox 2. We have talked to him a number of times. He's been in studio. He has advocated to us in the past that the police department should stay under city control. He was on Fox 2 last night.
Well, I believe it's politics and policing, absolutely. Because the things, when I first came in 2 years ago, they were looking for a change to state. This mayor actually hired the first outside chief in over a 200-year history, looking for that type of change, and a person has been a chief that has had a track record of improving things. The state gave us a chance from 2 years ago. We met all their benchmarks that they asked, and then we came back again last year, and we met them again. So when you continue to make the progress that they asked for, why are we back at the table again?
I kind of agree with him at this point, and I will continue to say this. I can be convinced otherwise if I'm given a plan, if I'm given details, or if I see them and it says this is what specifically the St. Louis leadership has been doing with the police department in the last year or two, and here's what we have specifically, and it is better, other than in generalities just saying, well, it's not good enough down in St. Louis. I need more. I need you to tell me exactly what it is you are going to do better, how much more it's going to cost, what you're planning to spend. I need specifics, and I don't feel like we have gotten that. So at this point, I am not in favor of them doing it, but it does look like they're going to do it anyway.
I know we briefly asked John Hancock and Michael Kelly about this issue last week when they're on during our show on Fridays, as they always are. And John Hancock said, well, you know, what the police force would get in Jefferson City is more support, or at least perceived a more supportive group of leaders of the St. Louis police force. We know that certain members of city leadership have not been supportive and at times been vocally unsupportive, with Megan Green being part of the Defund the Police movement. And so with morale being low in trying to recruit new officers, a big part of that is pay and benefits. You also know that if you're working in the city of St. Louis, you are going to be facing a different set of challenges and crimes than you would if you're a police officer in maybe a more rural area or just out in the suburbs. Not that they're not facing crime as well, but the city, right? It's different being a city cop. And so I think the morale being low, they could say, hey, at least in Jefferson City, we have people who are pro-police. Other than that, I don't know what the specific tools are. You know, I do know, as you mentioned, they've implemented a raise already within the St. Louis Police Force.
Was it 3%? Well, the other city 7%. Workers' proposal is 3%.
I think police was 7%.
Yeah.
And so they are trying to hire
police
people.
And fire.
Yeah, they are trying to hire people. That's going to be a challenge no matter who's in control. I'm kind of like you. I don't really know what the right decision is. Like you said, you could make an argument about, well, if the momentum is moving in the right direction, should we really stop that now by changing
Why
the
disrupt
leadership?
It?
I can also make an argument that, because I've had people reach out to me, say, well, what do you think? Because I'm a conservative, and generally conservatives like local government, which I think is a very valid argument. You look at Detroit. Now, Detroit filed for bankruptcy and had a businessman/lawyer, literally, he was appointed by the state, take control of the city for almost 2 years. But that's a very different situation than the state taking over the police force. And also the one thing that, Ranj, I keep going back to.
Kansas City?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the state's running the Kansas City police force. They set a record number for homicides. They're dealing with crime. So what I'm saying is, I don't know, but right now I don't know that I feel strongly that it's the right thing to do.
To me,
even though I'm unhappy with how it is, I just don't know what the right answer is.
I'm not unhappy with progress. I don't think we can expect it to be exponentially better right away. It is something that is going to take time, and it is moving in the right direction. It doesn't mean it will always continue to move in the right direction, but I need a better argument, and it's not being said explicitly, but I think it is very implicit that this really amounts to Democrats are in control of the city. Democrats don't know what they're doing, so we need to take it over because we're a Republican legislature. And that's how it feels to me. And you could tell me that I'm wrong, but I need you to prove to me that I am wrong. I don't think that I am. I think that's exactly what this is. and I don't know if you need another argument for whether or not they should do this than Kansas City. We're going to keep talking mm-hmm. about Kansas City because it is the other major city in the state. They have taken over control of that police department, and crime is not great there either. So it's not working there. So they have no evidence. They have shown me no evidence that they deserve to be doing the job because they haven't really done the job successfully yet.
Yeah, I don't know, Ranj. Like, if you said the state, I know this is not how it works, but if you said, well, the state's going to take over trash pickup and plowing the streets, I'd say, okay, we obviously failed.
Okay, fine.
Fine, take over that. With this one, I don't know what the answer is. What I want is I want whatever is best for St. Louis and stopping crime, and I am grateful that we do have a circuit attorney now and we're able to prosecute crimes, because that was an impossible situation. You can't fight crime if you don't have a circuit attorney who will prosecute crime. So we have that now in Gabe Gore.
Well, in terms of improving St. Louis, one of the things that there is an effort that is happening now is in fostering innovation in the St. Louis area, in the state of Missouri, but in particular in the St. Louis area. It's one of the things Greater St. Louis Inc. is trying to do. We're going to talk to somebody about that and what sort of fruits we're seeing from those efforts. That is next on KMOX. Organizations like Greater St. Louis Inc. is always working to try and improve the situation in St. Louis, in particular downtown St. Louis, which is the heart of the city, but really the entire area. And there are several areas they are focusing on. One of them is technology and innovation and how it can help the area grow. To talk about that with us, the executive director of the Missouri Technology Corporation, Jack Scatizzi, is with us on KMOX. Good afternoon, Jack. Thank you for being with us.
Oh, thank you for giving me the opportunity.
So tell us about what your company is doing and what this effort is all about in trying to foster that innovation here in the St. Louis area.
Yeah, so Missouri Technology Corporation, we're a public-private partnership created by the Missouri General Assembly. So we're not a state entity. We're a public-private partnership. But we were created to promote innovation and entrepreneurship, specifically to foster the growth of new and emerging high-tech companies throughout the state. So we work closely with organizations like Greater STL, who are interested in, catalyzing innovation and entrepreneurship within the St. Louis region.
So what exactly does that look like? Are you talking about even helping companies in Missouri get off the ground?
Yeah, excellent question. So MTC has two main programmatic activities. We expand the state's entrepreneurial capacity through providing grant-based support to nonprofit entrepreneur support organizations and universities. And then we also run a state-sponsored venture capital program, so where we, make direct investments in some of the most promising high-growth potential technology-based companies in the state. So yes, we're very focused on providing the resources, both mentoring and assistance, by providing financial support to the entrepreneur support organizations throughout the state. And then we're also writing checks alongside some of the state's investors in the most promising companies.
So that is, I have a friend who used to run Arch Grants, and we would talk all the time about their efforts, and I think it's in pretty good hands now. But the idea of something like that, where you give a grant to a startup company, and the idea is they keep that company in St. Louis and hopefully keep it here forever, and it continues to grow and whatnot. That is something that could help this region grow. In terms of that sort of thing, whether it's a startup or a technology of any kind, how is St. Louis doing, especially if you want to go back 5 or 10 years?
Yeah, so I mean, I think Arch Grants is a perfect example of how MTC works across the state and how MTC specifically supports the growth of these companies in the St. Louis region. So MTC has been a significant financial supporter of ARCS grants through our grant-based support. I actually believe some of the initial grants that stood up ARCS grants came through MTC probably 10, 15 years ago. So we use our grant-based approach to support organizations like ARCS grants. And then when those companies that they've either recruited to St. Louis or that they've kind of helped foster and grow in St. Louis are ready to accept venture capital, we're there with our state-sponsored venture capital ready to write, you know, $100,000 checks, $250,000 checks, $500,000 checks. And then when a company takes our investment, they're actually bound to be in the state of Missouri as long as we're an investor in the company.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, Amy. I didn't mean to cut you off there, but that's interesting. I think ARCS Grants does it. It's like a year or 2 years you have to stay. Yeah. But you're saying as long as you're an investor in the company, they have to stay here. So that could be indefinitely, right?
Yeah. So, you know, that was one of the things when MTC started its state-sponsored venture capital program about 15 years ago that, you know, the legislator said, hey, we're interested in this. We see the vision, we see the future of this, we see how other states are using this, but we can't have these states leaving, or we can't have these companies leaving the state of Missouri. So, and because of that, we're not a fit for all companies. You know, we really are only a fit on our state-sponsored venture capital program side for companies that are committed to staying and growing in the state of Missouri.
Yeah, it says on your website that since 2010... MTC has invested over $49 million in more than 150 early stage Missouri based high growth technology focused companies. And that is through your venture capital investments. And I don't know if you can say this. Are there any companies that like we might recognize that you would say, yeah, MTC was part of that?
Yeah. So actually, it's $53 million wow. and 160 companies now. Those companies have raised over $2.1 billion in additional private capital, and they've created over 8,000 jobs in the state of Missouri.
Wow.
So if you're familiar with Benson Hill,
yeah.
They went public maybe 18, 24 months ago. We wrote one of their first $100,000 checks. I think it was us, BioSTL Biogenerator, and I think ARCS Grants were the ones at the table. And that's an interesting, you know, case study because the founders of that company had ties to North Carolina. The technology had ties to the Danforth Center out in Creve Coeur. And the founders were open to, you know, launching the company in either St. Louis or North Carolina. And St. Louis stepped up with the money. And that's why we have Benson Hill, and they didn't end up launching in North Carolina.
So just in comparison to other cities, I know that when I first moved back to St. Louis in 2017, this was one of the growing startup markets in the country, and it was growing fast, and that was, you know, not quite 10 years ago. Are we still in that range? Are we still one of the faster growing startup areas?
So I think you have to look at how that you parse that data out. I mean, Missouri or any Midwest company is never going to be able to compare directly to California, you know, New York or Massachusetts. So a couple of years ago, MTC led a strategic initiative, and we had our consultants look specifically at it was seven of our neighboring states, mostly contiguous states, and then we added the aspirational states of Indiana and Ohio. And we actually ranked near the top of a majority of the technology and, you know, innovation, entrepreneurship and startup and venture capital rankings, you know, compared to Kansas, Arkansas, you know, Kentucky, Tennessee, we were right up there. So that's good. I think where you look at, especially where St. Louis has really benefited or has really seen its growth is in specific sectors. So you look at like biotech and ag tech, you know, the work that was done by BioSTL, Danforth Center, now 39 North. I mean, the biotech and ag tech sectors, those are national leaders. And companies are coming from across the nation to relocate to St. Louis, and are even coming internationally to relocate to St. Louis for what the community has been able to build. And I think, you know, Greater STL has been doing a lot of work around geospatial, especially with the new NGA West building opening, I think it's in the next year or so in St. Louis. So I actually think the way to kind of really compete is on specific sectors and really look at what sectors, a region, whether it's a state or whether it's a city like St. Louis, what resources they have that can allow them to be, you know, one of the best in the nation in that sector.
Not sure
if that answered the question, though.
No, it does. Yeah.
What significance, if any, I mean, there might not be any, but what significance, if any, is that Jim McKelvey and Jack Dorsey of Square and Twitter and Sam Altman of OpenAI are from St. Louis? Obviously, they have a big presence out in California. Does it mean anything that they're from here? Does it mean we're losing guys like that? Does it help inspire more here?
That's a great question. It's got a lot of layers to it. So I think the first immediate layer is, you know, anytime a region is able to point to someone that's at the pinnacle, that helps. And I think that's the same thing with acting, you know, point to Jon Hamm, you know, point to Sterling, you know, I mean, wasn't Sterling just on, was it Kimmel, and they got into the Emo's argument. So I think anytime local people can look out and see, hey, there is someone from where I went to school, from where I grew up, and they're at the pinnacle. So that helps. I think when you're talking about technology and venture capital, you know, now you're looking at those people, they're able to bring resources back. And sometimes those resources are investing in local companies. I mean, it's not uncommon when we're making an investment and we're reviewing, you know, a cap table that we see, you know, a McKelvey's name on it. And, you know, he was one of the first people to write a check in a company that we're now looking at. So I think that's the immediate. I think where the real growth is, and, you know, Chris, I'm similar. I moved back to St. Louis, I think it was about 2018. I mean, I left for a decade. I went to San Diego. I spent a lot of time in that entrepreneurial ecosystem there. Did a lot of work with an angel group there. And I came back to Missouri. So I think the real growth question is, how can you recruit the people who've left the region, have learned how to operate in other regions, and bring them back and get them to kind of level up the local ecosystem, either statewide or regional.
So if you happen to be listening to this, you feel like you have a good idea for a company, a startup, you know, maybe you've already gotten the ball rolling somehow. What would you recommend for somebody who is from this area that's looking to maybe establish some roots here?
Yeah, I mean, so the first thing is, you know, if you go to our website, MissouriTechnology.com, or, you know, just search Missouri Technology Corporation, we have a number of different programs. We do venture capital investments all the way down to $50,000 through a proof of concept program, up to $2 million for, you know, venture capital growth. But I think the key is really, and this, you know, I would say this goes for any region, specifically for St. Louis, but it's getting those entrepreneurs tied into the community, getting them tied into the arts grants, getting them tied into the tech STLs, you know, getting them tied into the organizations that have the resources that they really need, especially if you're at the ideation stage. There's a lot that needs to be done before MTC or any other investor can write a check.
Okay, so you can or cannot just walk in with an idea. I got this idea, and that's all you have?
It's a little hard.
Okay.
And mainly because we're investing public dollars, we need private matches. So you have to at least convince a couple other people that they want to invest too.
You have to have some
words.
Does that
make sense?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. All right. So it's best to be a little past the idea stage. Okay.
What idea do you have, Ron?
I feel like
you're fishing here.
I have zero ideas. Is there a place I can go to get ideas?
He's got an idea for a flat hot dog, a hot dog that doesn't roll.
Oh, that's a good one. I don't know how the gas stations would get it to work, though, because they use the shape to their advantage.
It's like uninventing the wheel, really.
Here it is. It's a hot dog place, but they throw the hot dogs at you like at Lambert's.
There you go.
Instead of rolls, they throw the hot dogs.
Throw to dogs.
So
there you go.
How much can I get for that?
How much is a hot dog?
Depends on the hot dog. $5.
Yes.
So that's all I get.
All right. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
Jack, so the website is MissouriTechnology.com. All the information you need if you are in that world and you feel like you've got something good, MissouriTechnology.com. Jack Scatizzi, the executive director of Missouri Technology Corporation, thank you for visiting with us today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
I don't think he liked my hot dog idea.
Well, I think he thought you were
stupid,
wasting his time. I think we all felt that way.
Wasting everybody's time, which is
kind of our job.
I love it. I love wasting people's time.
You're
so
good at it.
Remember when we said we had golf expo tickets for the St. Louis Golf Expo?
Is it?
This is your opportunity to win. St. Louis Golf Expo happens starting tomorrow, goes all weekend, St. Charles Convention Center, and we need caller number 5 to the contest line at 314-955-1120. 955-1120. And as Amy said earlier, there will be more losers than winners. But a texter said, more losers than winners? The proper thing to say, there would have been. Everyone's a winner for listening to Chris and Amy. That's right.
I think so.
You listened to this show today, you have all won. It's Chris and Amy on KMOX. Well, Tom in St. Charles isn't going to have to go very far to go to the St. Louis Golf Expo.
Because it's at the St. Charles Convention Center.
Yeah. You're just going to have to probably, I'm guessing he's close enough to walk. Technically, anything is close enough to walk. It just might take you a long time.
Yeah, if you have time enough, and you don't have to cross any dangerous borders.
Forrest Gump ran the entire length of the country.
No kidding.
Multiple times, yeah.
All at once?
Well, yeah. I mean, he back and forth, developed the following along the way.
Was that before he was friends with the guy in the wheelchair?
Lieutenant Dan. Yes, he was. Now, they had a lifelong friendship.
They did.
He was friends with him before the legs. Before the legs thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he lost the legs, and then they were friends still.
If you were watching on our StreamYard, by the way, I did. We do stream the Chris and Amy show on KMOX, on the KMOX StreamYard. I had to put a sweater on because I've been looking at myself for about 3 hours. Like, man, who do I look like? Because I have this striped shirt on and my hair's all frizzy and blonde because it's just bleached out by the sun and I like my hair to be darker. It's a long story. I need to make an appointment. At any rate, I realized who I looked like. I look exactly like Patricia McCloskey when she's dressed like the Hamburglar. And I was like, oh my gosh.
Oh my God.
Oh my gosh. The blonde hair, the shoulder length blonde hair that's a little frazzled. The striped shirt. I knew I looked familiar. And I don't need that on a Thursday.
You
so I put
brought,
on a sweater.
You should have brought your tiny little handgun and held it, like, you know, with your finger on the trigger.
Why makes you think I have a tiny little handgun? I don't have a gun. I have a can opener. I should have brought a can opener. And the thing is, I wasn't even supposed to be wearing the striped shirt. It was more like an undershirt. But it's so hot in this building. This building is just stuffy.
It really is stuffy.
And that's why I don't like working out in gyms, because you create your own humidity when you do that. It's a different kind of hot.
Tomorrow, we're broadcasting live from the Billikens Grill ahead of the Billikens Blizzard. They play Dayton tomorrow night. We've got the broadcast of that game here on KMOX.
It's the Grillikin.
The Grillikin, the Bill Grill, starts at 5:45, games at 6, but we're going to be there from 10 until 1 at the Billikens Grill, getting ready for the festivities that night. Also, Amy, did you see that Banana Ball sold out completely?
I did
Both
see that.
Both nights sold out at Busch Stadium.
And you're going.
Lucky enough to get tickets for Saturday. And
who are you bringing?
And how about this?
What?
I got tickets for Saturday.
Yeah.
The email that they were sold out showed up in my inbox like 15 minutes later.
Really?
So I just got in.
How do you know your time slot was at 11?
11
know
o'clock.
How late the time slots went?
I don't. I do know that friends of mine who were also charged with getting tickets for the group, they got in earlier And they got about the same sort of seats that I got. But anyway, it's amazing. You heard the story from either earlier in the week or last week that St. Louis, of all the markets in the country on the Banana Ball Tour, St. Louis had the most demand.
That is pretty incredible.
So we sold out two dates, April 4th and 5th at Busch Stadium. The Savannah Bananas are coming through town to play against the, I forgot what the team was called.
The Party Animals. From Party City.
No. Did we find out where they're from? I didn't look it up. Savannah Bananas.
I thought you did look it up and you said they just bring them with them.
Oh, they're like the Washington Generals.
Yeah, but the Savannah Bananas are playing. They said it's not like the Globetrotters because they actually play real baseball.
Well, they do play real baseball throughout the year, but they have very specific banana ball games. And that's what we're getting at Busch Stadium. That's where all the wacky stuff happens.
I love that if a fan catches a ball,
it's an out.
It's an out. Even if it's a home run, right?
I don't know. Is that one of the rules?
I thought it was.
Oh,
maybe not.
That's
probably not. That sounds made up.
So we're going to do it again tomorrow. We want you to come back with us at 10 o'clock. We will be on site on the SLU campus at Billiken's Grill starting at 10. We will be there until 1 o'clock. The Billiken Blizzard is tomorrow. They play against Dayton, as we mentioned. Anything you missed on the show today is on the Odyssey app. AUDACY or the podcasts are on KMOX.com as well. That's Amy Markscores. I'm Chris Ranji. We are going to hang out with the Dave Glover Show for an hour next on KMOX. Amy will come to your house and she will fight you.